Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
What I'm going to talk to you this morning, I'm going to talk to you about something very interesting called generational blessing. How many of you would like to see your children be blessed by God? Put up your hand. Come on. You know, you are blessed. You want to see your children blessed. And it's only for the first step. But to see your grandchildren also blessed by God. How many of you want to see that? Now, we have the capacity when we are alive to see not just one generation, but another generation. And if you live long enough, you may be able to see the fourth generation. So God is a God that blesses. Not just blesses one generation, but blesses generation after generation. So this morning, I want to talk about generational blessing. God's intention is to bless His people. But our world is not getting better. How many of you realize that? Our world is actually getting worse and worse. In fact, someone would say that our world is a sick world. You know, and as our world continues to become worse and worse, and people become more self-centered, people begin to think of no other person, just me. Nothing but me. It's all about me. As people begin to become that focused, in fact, I noticed that in the advertisement in the TV, there was a time where they tried so hard to convince you. I'm talking about those baby boomers, those around my age. You know, trying to convince you that you should spend your children's inheritance before you die. You know, and in fact, I discovered that when you are at my age, they have a club. They form all kind of club, but this club is called Spending Kid Inheritance Club. And this club teaches you how you can have an adventurous and an enjoyable holiday without any guilt. You know, how you can spend your children's inheritance. Let me tell you, I'm not a member of the club. But if you want, all you have to do is Google www.ski.australia.com.au. And this is quite good. SKI means Spend Kids Inheritance Skate. And they tell you, you know, they're not about skating. But you skate, you go where? You go high. You have to go high. Then from high, you come up. You come down. So they teach you how you can spend your children's inheritance by, you know, going up high, and then as you come sliding down, spending everything that you have. Leave nothing for your children. But we serve a God. We worship a God. And we believe in the God who champion generation. God believes in generation. In fact, He encouraged us in Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children. Next slide. A good man. How many good men are there here? Come on, every good man, put up your hand. We all want to be a good man. And the Bible tells us this. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children and children. Not just inheritance for one generation, but inheritance for the next generation. In fact, they said, when you have a good life, you pass it on to your grandchildren. If I have to pass on anything, I want to pass on the what? The good. I want to pass on the good. I don't want to pass on that which is no good. In fact, I don't want to pass my debt to my children. I want to leave an inheritance, not debt, not liability, not zero. But the Bible tells us that God wants you to be able to leave an inheritance to your children. one generation, but also inherited to your children's children, succeeding generation. Now, you may say that, hey, I'm not those kind of people that has a lot of money. What can I leave to my children? You know, but I want you to know that inheritance is not just about physical and material. It's not just about money, property, or possession. You may not have much in your life, but you can leave something for your children. You can leave them a spiritual inheritance of blessing, an inheritance of legacy, an inheritance of value. Oh, I want to give my children as much as I can. But let me tell you about money. Money, money, money is never enough. How many of you realize that? It's never enough. Let me tell you about money. Money can be lost, can be stolen, can be wasted, or blown away. You see, money with wings that flies. Easy come, easy go. But when you leave a spiritual inheritance, a spiritual inheritance is like seed planted in your children. And those seed that planted in your children, those legacy, those values that is planted in your children, empowers them to grow up in God's way of life. There is no greater joy in the hearts of every parent to see their children walking right, growing right, doing well. Would you like to see your children doing that? That's the greatest joy that we can have, you know. But when you plant spiritual inheritance as a seed over them, they grow up in God's way of life. And when they grow up in God's way of life, every God's possibility, every God's potential that is in them, reside in each one of them. Look at your children. They are talented. They are gifted. You may not notice that, but it is you with the wisdom of God to how to release it and how to tap it and how to see them becoming what God has called them to be. Those spiritual inheritance seeds, the potential and the possibility that is in them, that they are able to be and to do from one generation to another generation. I believe the God that we serve is interested in generations. The God that we serve, the God that we worship, that the God that we believe, He championed generation. You know, when God introduced Himself, I not only once, but a few times when He introduced Himself in the Old Testament, you know, He introduced Himself time and time to succeeding generation with this word, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So what is God saying to us? God is saying this, I am generational. I am covenantal. I am relational. I am personal. I am for families. Amen? God is for families because the family is the core and the foundation of society. When family collapse, society collapse. That's why the family must be protected. Must be protected from the onslaught of humanism, self-love, selfishness, and marriage breakup. God sees the importance of families. Every father here, I pray and I beg you, be the best father you can be in your capacity with the help of God and see your family growing strong in God. Today is a very special day. It's Father's Day. Let me first say, if I have not said that, happy Father's Day to you. Turn around to someone who is a father and give them a smile. And today, being Father's Day, I want to declare generational blessing over this house. That the people in this house, from the word of God, as God has blessed Abraham, as God has blessed Isaac, as God has blessed Jacob, God is multi-generational. That his blessing is for you and for your succeeding generation. You see, people get caught up with generation curse. And they forgot about generation blessing that is in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 to verse 6, they talk about this to the children of Israel. No idols. If you worship idols, you're going to get into trouble. If you don't put God first, you're going to get into trouble. But this is what he said, which is so important, that when God say, I will judge you, it's only for the third and fourth generation, to those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations to those who love me and obey my commandment. I believe in generational blessing. I believe that. And if you believe in generation curse, like father, like son. Grandfather was an alcoholic. Father is also an alcoholic. Son is also an alcoholic. Marriage break up from one generation to another generation. Physical and mental sickness in the family line. All this curse, all this generation curse, and much more, do not have to pass from one generation to another generation. Today, it can be canceled. Today, all curse can be canceled. All debt can be canceled. You can be blessed by God. Don't you want it? If you believe in generation curses, you see in your family line, I want you to believe in someone greater and more powerful than all the curses of humanity. His name is Jesus Christ. He took all the curses of humanity from alphabet A to alphabet Z, all the way Alpha to what was that? Omega. Beginning to the end. A to Z. All he took. And you can name the curses one by one if you want. But the Bible tells us Jesus took it upon himself on the cross. He canceled the curses of humanity so that the blessing that is promised to Abraham is now possible to anyone who believe in him. This is God's purpose when he sent Jesus Christ into this world. Not to condemn the world, not to judge the world, but through Jesus Christ, we may experience the life that God has promised. That he came to take away all the curses so that the promises of God, so that the blessing of God can come upon our life. How many of you want to be blessed by God? Put up your hand. We all want to be blessed by God. Why do we want to be cursed? There is no joy being cursed. There is great joy from being blessed. This is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 14. Christ redeemed us from the self-defeating cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Yes, I don't have to be cursed. Say amen. Yes, I can experience joyful life. I can experience blessed life. I can experience abundant life. I can experience a full life. That's the purpose why Jesus Christ has come. Do you remember the scripture say, curse is everyone who hangs on the tree. That is what happened when Jesus was near to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time, dissolve the curse. And now, because of that, the air is clear. It's time to breathe fresh air. It's time to breathe new air. It's time to breathe the air that make your life different. The air that has, can change your life. I have breathed this air more than 45 years ago when I believed in Jesus Christ. That air is still as fresh. I know that there are a lot of air pollution out there, but not the air that I breathe from Jesus Christ. It's time. The air is clear. And what we can see, that Abraham's blessing is present and available to for non-Jews too. Yes, the blessing promised to Abraham is now given to us. We are all able to receive God's life, His Spirit in us, and we ask by believing just the way Abraham received it. God is generational. He said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. Did they receive it? God's blessing and generational blessing by their work, by their own goodness, by their own merits? No. They receive it simply by their faith. Simply, they believe God for who He is and what He said and what He promised. Believing God, believing in Jesus Christ is the key to God's blessing and to generational blessing. And because they believe, the same generational blessings flows from one generation, Abraham, to the next generation, Isaac, to the next generation, Jacob. And I want you to know, this same generational blessings can come to you and your children and your children's children. Because I like the words of David when he said in Psalm 37, David said this, I have been young and now I am old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. That God's blessing is you will always have more than enough. This is God's blessing. And how do I receive God's blessing? How do I impart generational blessing? Simply placing your faith in a loving and a forgiving God named Jesus Christ. Is generational blessing conditional? Yes. It is conditional. And we can see that from the household of King David. We see from King David's household and his succeeding generation, first recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6. This is when Solomon, the son of David, came to God. And he said this to God, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as he is this day. So, from David's household, the condition for generational blessing begins with who? Begins with David. He's the first generation. And the Bible tells because David lived in truth. He lived in righteousness and he lived in uprightness of heart. David lived right before God. David honored God. David set the temple and the heartbeat for his life and his household. I know from the Bible, David was not a perfect man. He has his shortcomings. He has his failures. But one thing he has a repenting heart. A heart that says, God, I'm wrong. Please forgive me. And he pressed on and continued. That's why God called him a man after his own heart. So generation blessing comes from this. The first generation, the father said, I will live my life right. I will love my wife. I will love my family. I will honor the family. And then from his life, because he believed and he trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is passed to who? To the next generation. The next generation simply have to obey the word of God given to Solomon. In verse 14, this is what God said to Solomon. You saw what I did for your father David. You see how I have blessed him, how I have watched over him. You have saw it. If you want me to do the same for you, in verse 14, it was this. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandment as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your day. Generation blessing comes. God, I'm following Jesus. I'm honoring him. I'm putting him first. The next generation say, I'm going to do the same. So the blessing of God not just pass over. It multiply. It increase. It begins with David, the first generation father of his household. For us who are fathers here, you have children, and maybe you're also a grandfather, you have got grandchildren. I want you to know, same as David, he followed and he lived his life the way God wants him to live. And the succeeding generation followed the example of the earlier generation. But if David spoiled, if David did not get it right and make it right, just like if you don't get it right and make it right for your generation, what will the next generation be? What a great responsibility. That I do not live just for myself. I live thinking of the next generation. So I encourage all fathers today, know Jesus, love him, obey him, honor him, put him first, trust him first. And if you know Jesus, live your life so that your children can witness your faith, your hope, and your love. Where? Let it be at home. The home is the best place to establish it, that God, you are the head of this house. Because when you do that, it will impact your children. It will influence your children. It will champion them to follow your life. I may not be able to give my children a big bank account when I leave this place. Not because I'm spending my kids' inheritance. I may not be able to give them much. But one thing I will give them that the world cannot give them. And that is I living a legacy in my life. That I know Jesus. That I live my life for Jesus. And that is the legacy you can live for the next generation. But our world is so different. Our world tells us, discount the past and the former generation. The world look at us, oh, you are a grandfather, you are a father. What they call us? Old man. What they call the grandfather? Well, if they call me old man, the grandfather must be old man. That's how the world sees us. That you are behind time, you are out of fashion, you are a dinosaurus. But they forgot that every good things that this generation enjoy is because the former and the past generation has paid the price, has given and has prepared and laid for us. Because of them, we are able to achieve more, do more, go further in life. Without them, where will we be? Wonder the Bible is very clear. Honor your father and your mother. Because your life flows from them. Your happiness flows from them. Your blessing flows from them. The Bible says, do not remove ancient boundary markers set up by the previous generation. Let me tell you this. In today's translation, what I think, it means this today. Don't take down a fence until you understand why it is put there. Because sometimes we think we remove things without understanding why it is put there. Generational blessing. From one generation to the next generation to the next generation, David lived what is right before God. The next generation followed. And as I look through the Old Testament, I find a phrase that has been repeated in each generation after King David. And the phrase is repeated to tell us whether David's children, did they follow him, follow his way, or they did not follow his footstep? And those that did, this is what the Bible says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father, not turning aside to the left or to the right. To those who follow the footstep of the father David, like King Joash, King Asa, King Jehoshaphat, and King Hezekiah, the descendant of King David. They followed the footstep and the footstep of their fathers that followed King David's footstep. They experienced generational blessing. Their choice affects the next generation. The world is telling us, what you do is your business. How you live is your business. It doesn't matter. No, it does. Because your choice affects the next generation. Your choice affects your children. Your choice affects those that love you, those that are close to you. So, if your choice will affect your children and your children's children, I encourage you. I beg you, choose wisely. Choose wisely. But then I look at the scripture. The other kings that did not follow King David's footstep, the other children that say, ah, what is this? This old king. What is this? I don't want that. I want to do it my way. They did what was right in their own eyes. They did what they want. They did it without God as the center of their life. They did it without any regards, any thoughts of God and his way. To those people, they brought trouble to their life, trouble to their family, trouble to their succeeding generation, and trouble to God's people. As we look back through the family line and see how our parents, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and others in our family history have affected our life, sometimes we get caught up with the negative things that has been passed down. But I want you to know, the blessing of God is also passed down. Focus on generational blessing. When you walk in God's way of life, you bring divine blessing into your life. Today, let it be the day where we receive those generation blessings into our life. And thank God for them. Good seeds has been sown. Receive the blessing of God by faith. And thank God for his faithfulness throughout your generation. Pass generation blessings from one generation to the next generation. God expects godly parents to leave an inheritance, a legacy, a spiritual blessing for their children. We need to pray and work towards being a blessing and living a blessing to our children. Generation unborn. Your unborn children. Your unborn grandchildren. Your unborn great-grandchildren are waiting to benefit from our generational blessings. Even Jesus, in his prayer, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciple, and he prayed for what? Future believer. Jesus believed in passing it on. That's why God is very particular about the stability of homes. I pray that every home that is in this house, that your home will be a good home, will be a blessed home, will be a home that experience the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his seed, God's seed, God leave offspring to pass on generational blessing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. While every head is bowed today, I want to tell you that God's generational blessing is available for you. The generational curse do not need to continue in your life. That today it can all be cancer if you recognize Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and he paid the price to take away all the curses of humanity. And you want me to pray for you because you want to put your trust in this person called Jesus Christ, greater than all the curses of life. Where you are right now, while every head is bowed, just lift up your hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anyone? Just lift up your hand. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you that through Jesus Christ, the blessing promised to Abraham has come to us by faith when we believe in the work of Jesus Christ. We believe that he died for our sin, he rose from the dead, and today he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. And so, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that every curse be broken and be cancelled, that you would pronounce your blessing, the blessing of God over your people, over those hands that raised before you. Lord, the generational blessing will come upon their life as they walk in your way, as they live for you, as they believe in you, and as they walk upright before you. I command the blessing of God, the generational blessings over your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.